Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 9. The text today is number 23. Tadvratar Yutame Nashte. Mrigayayam tutan manaha Ande shantivanam mata Javagnim sa pravikshati. What? Your Rartavi brother Utame Utama Nashte, being killed. Mrigayayam, in hunting. Tu, then. Tatmanaha,
being too afflicted.
Anveshayanti,
while searching out.
Vanam, in the forest.
Mata,
the mother.
Dava Agnim,
in the forest fire.
Sa,
she, Pravikshati, will enter. Translation, the Lord continued, sometime in the future your brother, Uttama, will go hunting in the forest, and while absorbed in hunting, he will be killed. Your stepmother, Suruchi, being maddened upon the death of her son, will go to search him out in the forest, but she will be devoured by a forest fire. Please repeat. The Lord continued. Sometime in the future, your brother Uttama
will go hunting in the forest.
And while absorbed in hunting, he will be killed. Your stepmother Suruchi, being maddened upon the death of her son, will go to search him out in the forest. But she will be devoured by a forest fire. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Dhruva Maharaj came to the forest to search out the Supreme Personality of Godhead with a revenging spirit against his stepmother. His stepmother had insulted Dhruva, who was not an ordinary person, but a great Vaishnava. An offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava is the greatest offense in this world. Because of having insulted Dhruva Maharaj, Suruchi would become mad upon the death of her son and would enter a forest fire, and thus her life would be ended. This was specifically mentioned by the Lord to Dhruva because he was determined for revenge against her. From this, we should take the lesson that we should never try to insult a Vaishnava. Not only should we not insult a Vaishnava, but we should not insult anyone unnecessarily. When Suruchi insulted Dhruva Maharaj, he was just a child. She, of course, did not know that Dhruva was a great recognized Vaishnava, and so her offense was committed unknowingly. When one serves a Vaishnava unknowingly, one still gets the good result. And if one unknowingly insults a Vaishnava, one suffers the bad result. A Vaishnava is especially favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pleasing him or displeasing him directly affects the pleasure and displeasure of the Supreme Lord. Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur, in his 8 stanzas of prayer to the spiritual master, has sung, Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasadaha By pleasing the spiritual master, who is a pure Vaishnava, one pleases the personality of Godhead. But if one displeases the spiritual master, one does not know where he is going. Also, welcome to everyone who's joined us online this morning. It's great to come together for Krishna Katha, because there are a lot of pernicious vibrations going out into the environment. Yesterday, Dr. Mack reminded me that when one makes transcendental sound, it goes around the earth 7 times. So, how many, I don't know if it goes around extra times if you're broadcasting live on Facebook, but it definitely amplifies it, and that's what we're looking to do, is to amplify transcendental sound all over the world, because it brings the highest benefit to the soul. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we're hearing consistently from the story of Dhruva Maharaj, who, as we know already, left home and went to the forest. On the way there, he met his spiritual master, and his spiritual master tested him. He said, "Why, you're just a little boy, why are you going to the forest?" And he also gave him a formula to avoid all trouble in life and the kind of conflict that he was experiencing at that time. He said, when you meet somebody who's a superior, you should offer service and respects and inquire. When you meet somebody who's an equal level, you should make friendship. And if you meet somebody that's lower than you, you should show compassion. And Dhruva Maharaj said, "I thank you very much for your brahminical instructions. I'm sorry I can't follow them. I still have to go to the forest." He said, "I have Kshatriya blood. These instructions don't appeal to me." And Narada Muni, his spiritual master, who we know from last night and yesterday's class, was informed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead that this little boy was a great devotee and he had determination to find God. So Krishna arranged for Narada to intercept this boy on his way to the forest. And after testing him and seeing that his determination was absolute, he gave him, that is, Narada gave Dhruva instructions about how to advance in spiritual life. He gave him a practice. And he told him, he imparted a mantra to him that he could repeat. And he also gave him instructions about how to control the senses. So Dhruva followed those very carefully and went to the bank of the Jamuna, Madhuvan, near the Jamuna, next to the Jamuna in Vrindavan, and began to perform what are world-renowned as the special austerities of Dhruva Maharaj. He curtailed his eating process by eating less and less every month, and then he came to the point where he was only breathing air. And at that point, his yogic power had become so intensified that the air in the universe had become restricted and the demigods were suffocating. And they thought that maybe another demon was at hand, like Hiranyakashipu had previously performed severe austerities and thus terrorized the universe. So they went to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and mentioned this, and he said, "Actually, it's my devotee this time who's performing these austerities. He wants to see me." So the Lord manifested himself first in the heart of Dhruva Maharaj, and then externally, when Dhruva Maharaj opened his eyes, he saw this beautiful form of the Lord. And the Lord then, knowing that Dhruva Maharaj wanted to glorify him, touched him on the head, on Dhruva's head, with his conch shell. And Dhruva was thus empowered to speak beautiful words glorifying the Lord. And those prayers are here within the Srimad Bhagavatam. One can recite them every day and memorize these prayers by Dhruva Maharaj. So in today's verse, we're hearing a prediction by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, where he's talking about what's going to happen in the future, because Krishna knows everything. In the Gita, Krishna says, "Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishami bhutani mamcha vedana kashchana. That I know everyone, I know everything, I know all living entities, but me no one knows. So Krishna is telling him that the result of his mother, his stepmother, insulting him will be that she, when going after her son who had been unjustly killed by a yaksha in the forest, as she went to look for him, and there was a forest fire and she was burned up. This is apparently, as presented here, as a consequence of her offense to Adruva Maharaj. And this is an instruction given here, and Prabhupada elaborates this in the purport, that one should be very careful to not offend Vaishnavas, and then Prabhupada goes on to say one should not offend anyone. He uses the word insult. Shouldn't insult, shouldn't offend, unnecessarily criticize, or in any other way vilify Vaishnavas, and one should be careful not to criticize others. Very interestingly, in this case, Dhruva wasn't apparently a great devotee at the time. He was a 5-year-old boy. So how would his stepmother know? Well, she didn't know. How could she have known? But it turned out that he was a great Vaishnava, or he became a great Vaishnava. And either way, the offense still held. Therefore, one should move about the world cautiously, because one may say, well, this person is insignificant, and one may speak harsh words about someone, and later on that person may become a great Paramahamsa. And in that case, the offense one commits will still have a profoundly negative effect. And also, when moving about the world, one may be careful, one should be careful about offending anyone, because we don't know who people are. We know even in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that Maharaj Rahugana, feeling that he was in a superior position as a king being carried on a palanquin, asked that a new member be recruited to carry his palanquin. And at that time, Jad Bharat just happened to be wandering in the area. He was a Paramahamsa, but not apparently so, because he was pretending to be like a mad person, retarded, so that no one would interact with him, because he didn't want to interact with the world. So the palanquin carriers recruited him, said, "Hey, you, come over here, carry this palanquin, the king needs it." Because you need four to carry a palanquin, there were only three. One had fallen sick. So Jad Bharat came over, began carrying the palanquin, and as he walked, he was carefully stepping from side to side to avoid crushing ants on the walkway. And this jostled the palanquin. And the king then became indignant, because he thought, "I'm the king and this person is jostling me. How dare he?" And he began insulting Jad Bharat and saying, "What? You're too puny?" Jad Bharat had a big strong body. He said, "You're too skinny and weak. You can't carry the palanquin properly." And one after another he gave insults to Jad Bharat. And finally Jad Bharat stopped and gave his attention to the king and said that, "I'm neither fat nor skinny nor weak nor strong, because I'm not my body." And he went on to explain the science of self-realization to the king, who was shocked that here was a person he had assumed was unqualified, simply a wanderer and with no sense at all. But it turned out that he was a great Paramahamsa. So the king came down and offered his obeisances to Jad Bharat. I can think of many times being in public, meeting people, and thinking that this or that person was like this or that. The mind has a tendency to prejudge people. And then finding out that what I thought was perhaps a person unacquainted with spiritual knowledge ends up being a highly elevated person. I've even met devotees in disguise who were simply testing me to see what I would say. And I learned that you have to be careful. So offenses are deadly for one's spiritual life. So one should avoid offenses, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu illustrated this in his pastimes in many different ways. Of course, we know when Jagai and Madai were liberated, Mahaprabhu, because they had surrendered to Mahaprabhu, he took on all of their sinful reactions. In fact, he turned black because of all the sins that entered his beautiful golden body. And the devotees like Advaita Acharya and Nityananda were standing there just in awe of the beauty of the Lord, and he said, "What do I look like?" And he said, "You look like Krishna." He turned black. And Mahaprabhu said that, "I'm taking all these sinful reactions of Jagai and Madai, and anyone who blasphemes the Vaishnavas will be the recipient of these sinful reactions. They're just waiting there in a storehouse to be delivered to those who blaspheme devotees. They can have them." In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes also, there's an interaction between he and Ramachandra Puri, who was a godbrother of his spiritual master, and Srila Ishvara Puri. So, when he came to town, this devotee, who had developed a propensity to criticize others, gave his full attention to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began criticizing him. He would come to his residence and bring him prasadam, nice mahaprasadam, all kinds of nice preparations and sweets and so forth. And then when Mahaprabhu would honor it, he would then criticize him and say, "See, I heard that he eats too much, and now I've seen with my own eyes." In this way, he would go from one Vaishnav to another and bring him nice palatable food and induce them to eat more and more. And then afterwards, he would criticize them. And one day, when he went to the residence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw some ants walking around. Of course, in India and elsewhere, ants wander here and there. They're ubiquitous. And then he began to say, "Aha, this sannyasi is secretly eating sweets." And Mahaprabhu, when getting criticized, simply restricted the amount he was eating, and the devotees became very morose, because this is their life and soul, is making preparations and seeing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is honoring prasad very nicely. And they all became afflicted by the presence of Ramachandra Puri. But Mahaprabhu wouldn't react against him, because he was the godbrother of his spiritual master. So he treated him with great respect. And whenever he was criticized, he would simply accept that criticism. It's mentioned in the purport to this pastime from the Smriti Shastra. There's an injunction that one should neither criticize or praise anyone, because the world, the universe, is working in a uniform way. But then it says, of these two injunctions, that one should neither criticize or praise anyone, you can neglect the order to not praise someone. In other words, you can praise, but you can't criticize. But Ramachandra Puri did not observe this. He had developed this critical tendency because when his spiritual master, Srila Madhavendra Puri, was leaving the world, he had impudently instructed his own spiritual master. The spiritual master was feeling the ecstasy of separation from Krishna and was calling out again and again, "I wasn't able to attain you." And with great lamentation, in this highest mood of separation from the Lord. And Ramachandra Puri intruded on that mood of his spiritual master and said, Guruji, why are you lamenting at this time when you're getting to leave your body? He said, you should be meditating on Brahman. And Srila Madhavendra Puri, being disturbed by this impudent disciple, told him, go away. If I see your face while I'm leaving this world, I will not attain my goal. On the other hand, Srila Ishvara Puri, another disciple, served his spiritual master who had performed this pastime of being an invalid near the end of his life. And Srila Ishvara Puri went out of his way to attend to all the bodily needs of Srila Madhavendra Puri when he was leaving the world, and he greatly pleased him. Therefore, he became a great exalted pure devotee, so much so that he became the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whereas Ramachandra Puri became a criticizer of Vaishnavas and developed this critical nature. And this story is presented by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to show the different results. If one is pleasing to one's spiritual master, one will develop this good quality. If one becomes offensive, one then may become offensive to all other Vaishnavas, to his or her peril in spiritual life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu illustrated this elsewhere in the pastime of Devananda Pandit, who's one of the greatest pandits of Navadvip. And he would daily recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. A large crowds of students would come to hear his erudite explanation of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which he had studied from the time he was a young child. He had also taken the vow of lifelong celibacy. And he was an excellent scholar. And one day, Srivas Pandit, the great pure devotee of the Lord, came to that assembly and sat there to listen to the recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And while he was listening, he felt ecstasy in his heart from hearing the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And tears came to his eyes and began to sigh loudly. And the students around him of Devananda Pandit took this just to be a great disturbance in the class. And so they forcefully picked him up and they threw him out of the assembly. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the super soul within everyone's heart, understood that this had happened. And he became one day very angry and began to speak against Devananda Pandit, saying, this man is considered to be a pundit by many, but actually he is a great rascal. He doesn't know anything about Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Srivas Pandit, the great pure devotee who had come to hear Srimad Bhagavatam at his assembly and who was experiencing ecstasy, was disrespected by him. In fact, his disciples threw him out and Devananda Pandit didn't prevent them from doing so. And the Vrindavanas Thakur from the Chaitanya Bhagavad explains how, although he was so expert in scholarship and was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam daily, he couldn't understand the import of Srimad Bhagavatam at all because of his offense to Vaishnavas, especially his offense to Srivas Thakur. And this is one of the great secrets of devotional life, which is mentioned in the Puranas. Yasya Devi Parapaktir, Yasya Devi Tathaguru, Tasyai Te Katita Hyarta, Prakashanti Mahatmanaha. That if one has implicit faith in both Krishna and the spiritual master, then one can understand the import of Srimad Bhagavatam and all the Vedas. But no one else can, even if one is a great scholar. And if one offends Vaishnavas, then one can't understand anything. And in the story of Devananda Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confronts him and chastises him severely. Devananda Pandit was actually a sincere person, so he became very thoughtful about this chastisement. In fact, Vrindavanas Thakur says that one who's personally chastised by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most fortunate person in the universe. He says that one who's chastised by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then dies will attain Vaikuntha. Soon afterwards, after the chastisement, Devananda Pandit became attracted to one of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great devotees named Vrikeshwar Pandit. You probably remember him because he is known for his dancing, and that he could dance for 72 hours without stopping. So when he came and had association with Vrikeshwar Pandit, then he developed attraction for that Vaishnava and began to serve him and accepted him as his spiritual master, and then his offense was cleared because of attaching himself to a Vaishnava. And the quintessential story that comes from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which explains the danger of offenses to Vaishnavas, is in relationship to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own mother. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performs the Mahaprakash, which is the time in which he revealed his godhood to everyone. Up to this point, everyone thought, as a boy, he was just the most excellent scholar in the world, albeit puffed up. But after coming back from Gaya, then they thought, oh, now he's transformed into a great Vaishnava. But then one day, he revealed to Srivas Pandit, and then everybody else in Navadvipa, that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srivas Pandit was home worshipping his deity, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the house of Srivas Pandit and began banging on the door and said, "Who are you worshipping, Srivas? Don't you know? I am him. And let me in." So Srivas heard the banging, he and his wife opened the door, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in and sat on the altar of Vishnu, took all the Shaligram Shilas and put them on his lap. And there he stayed for 21 hours and gave benedictions to all the devotees. One after another came to him. He said, "Bring everyone." And he would tell them some intimate story that only that person would know, and then reveal to them that I was there. And I'm the one who has been organizing your life in such a way as to protect you and to that you can advance in devotional service, and ask for benediction. So everyone was asking for some benediction. Someone saying, "My father is very sinful minded, please purify my father." Everyone asked for something, and then the devotee said, "But what about your mother, Mother Sachi? Why haven't you called her?" And he said, "I will not give her prema. I will not give her benediction because she has offended a Vaishnava." And the devotees were dumbstruck. How can she? She's your mother. She bore you within her womb. Who else? How could such a person who brought the Supreme Personality of God into this world have made any offense whatsoever? And Mahaprabhu said, "She offended Advaitacharya. And until she gets the dust from the lotus feet of Advaitacharya, her offense to a Vaishnava will not be mitigated." So all the devotees went to Sri Advaitacharya and they told him the situation. He said, "What, are you trying to kill me? By involving me in this situation? How could I possibly give the dust from my feet to Mother Sachi? She's the mother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She bore him within her womb. Who could be more qualified in the universe?" And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Sri Advaitacharya, in the context of this situation, saw Mother Sachi coming forward, and he fainted in ecstasy. So Mother Sachi came, and while he was unconscious, she took the dust from his feet and put it on her head. And then she fainted in ecstasy, so they both fainted in ecstasy. And then Mahaprabhu came, and he awarded pure love for God to Mother Sachi, showing that if one offends a Vaishnava, even if one's the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one will not attain prema. And then he revealed how she had made the offense. And that was in the village where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived. He had a brother named Vishwarup. And Vishwarup was an incarnation of Balaram, Nityananda. He, every day, being attracted by Advaitacharya, would go to Advaitacharya's house and listen to his discourses on the Bhagavad Gita and the Yoga Vishishta, describing pure devotional service. And Srila Vishwaroop was such an exalted personality that upon hearing more and more from Advaitacharya, became convinced that he should renounce the world. So at a very young age, he left home and took sannyas. And Mother Suchi was greatly distraught by this, because she was a widow. And then, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grew up, he became attracted to Advaitacharya's discourses, and he would go there every day also. And then Mother Suchi said, "Oh great, I already lost my eldest son, and now Nimai is going every day." He said, "He's going to hear all this talk from Advaitacharya, and he's going to become renounced and leave home, and I'll be all alone." He said, "What kind of, did they call him Advaita? But actually, he's Dwaita. Advaita means the absolute one, but Dwaita means duality." He said, "He's creating duality by his preaching. He's made my one son go away, now he's going to make the other son go away." And Vrindavan Das Thakur said, simply for this statement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu held her accountable for an offense to a Vaishnava that she spoke these words. So there are various ways in which the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Chaitanya Bhagavat, the authors of these books, express the importance of the Vaishnava culture of being non-offensive to devotees, to Vaishnavas. And one may consider that, one might think, well, this is an insignificant Vaishnava, not very advanced. This is not Uttama Adhikari. It's not a Paramahamsa. So I will disregard this person, I'll mistreat this person and go somewhere else. And then later on, that person might become a great Uttama Adhikari Paramahamsa. Then you've made an offense. You're still accountable for that. So in Vaishnava culture, we have to be very careful to respect all Vaishnavas. And then as mentioned twice already, we also have to have respect for other living entities and see that they're actually part and parcel of Krishna. The devotees have a special vision when they interact with living entities in this world. The lowest class of people, when they see somebody, consider that person according to their past. And they say, well, the person was like this in the past, and therefore, it doesn't matter how they are now, I hold them accountable for their past. A more merciful, highly advanced person then will disregard the past activities of a person and consider them according to their present situation. It doesn't matter what they did before, this is how they are now. But the most highly elevated person will consider the person according to their future potential. And the devotees, knowing that every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna, will treat others as if they have the potential of becoming devotees, great devotees. So they seek, and appropriately, what to speak of those who are already practicing Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami says in his Upanishadamrita, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranati vishta bhajanta mishna shushushraya bhajanabhiktam ananyamanya nindari shunya hridimiksita sangalabhya. And that is that when one meets somebody who can say Hare Krishna, everyone say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna!
Then within his mind, that devotee should offer respects to that person. That means anybody anywhere that says Hare Krishna, you should say, this is the best of all persons. The Shastras, the Srimad Bhagavatam says, Aho patashra pachato garyanya jiva gre vartati namatubhyam. Tepus tapaste juhuvu sasna arya brahmana churnama grananti ete. Devahuti is saying, oh, how wonderful it is that if somebody, even one time, with just the tip of their tongue, can say, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna!
This person has performed all Vedic sacrifices in previous lives. They've already gone to all the holy places, then they're qualified to become Brahmins. of course, the quality of the chanting is important, but this is the vision of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, who said, if I hear one time from the lips of a person, Hare Krishna, I consider this person to be the best among the whole population. So this is the mood of the devotees. Then he says, Dikshasti Chet Pranidibish, that when you see somebody who's taken the chanting of Hare Krishna very seriously, and who's taken initiation and taken vows, they actually sat down in front of a spiritual master and said, I vow to do this for the rest of my life. That's a big deal. That shakes the universe. And you should get down on the ground and offer obeisances to such a person for that the vow they've taken. They've taken this diksha from a guru, the vow to chant Hare Krishna. And then he says, Nindadi Shunya Srinabhupsita Sangalabhya, and that is, if you find somebody who's been chanting Hare Krishna, who then has, and his heart's become purified of the propensity to criticize others, you should follow that person around and try to do some service, and you should give your life to the association of that person in service. So these are the ways in which the great acharyas teach us to interact with people in the world, with Vaishnavas. And then also, as mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, Ishvare taradineshu balisheshu tu satsucha prema maitri kupopeksha yakaroti samadhimaha. This comes from the instructions of the Navi Yogendras to Maharaj Nimi. And here it is mentioned that a preacher, a Madhyama Adhikari, which is a very advanced level of devotional service, should interact with people in proper ways. First of all, one should recognize who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and develop loving service, develop oneself in loving service to the Lord. Second of all, one should understand who are the devotees, and one should develop appropriate friendships with all the devotees, as I just mentioned from the Upadeshamrita. Third, one should see those who are innocent and understand who they are, and one should give them as much mercy as possible. You should go out of your way to do that. And fourth, when one finds somebody who's envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should avoid them, because by interacting with them, they'll become more envious and they'll become more offensive. So you have to learn to avoid them. But when you do avoid them, you should go away thinking about their welfare. This is called sad-achar, good behavior of the devotee. And this verse points out the way in which we interact with the world in a non-offensive way. And then finally, but another verse which describes the lowest level of devotee says, Acharya meva hariye pujam yashariye te natat bhakteshu chanyeshu sabhakta prakrita smitaha. The materialistic devotee sees only that God's in the temple, the form of the deity, and goes to the temple to worship God, but doesn't understand who is a devotee. And after all, Krishna himself says in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Madhpakta Puja Pyadika, the most effective kind of worship is worship of my devotees. So, but he doesn't understand who the devotees are. Not only that, Natad Bhakteshu Cha Anyeshu, he also doesn't understand how to do good for others. So this is called a materialistic devotee. And this person in the lowest position may make offenses while interacting with others, but the Madhyama Adhikari tries to leave everyone with a good impression, and one way or the other, tries to help people advance in Krishna consciousness. So, one final thought before we take some reflections and questions, and that is that sometimes, out of envy in Vaishnav Sangha, one may see that a devotee becomes advanced. And then, again, I'll repeat, out of envy, one may then discount that advancement. The Prabhupada tells a story about this. He says there were some men that grew up together in the village. And they're talking one day about their friend, Dilip. And one friend says to the other, that, did you know that Dilip has become a high court judge? And the other one says, no, get out of here. That's impossible. Dilip's an idiot. He couldn't become a high court judge. He said, no. He went to school. He became a lawyer. He became a judge. Now he's a high court judge. And He said, I don't believe it. He said, I saw him. He's in the court. He's sitting there. He's got the robe. He's behind the desk. He's behind the bench. And he's giving sentences out. And then his friend said, yeah, well, he probably doesn't get paid anyway. This is called the envy of familiarity. And Prabhupada also gives the faulty logic that some people adhere to, which is that because, like kids, sometimes they run around naked. Because they can get away with that. And they just run around naked. So sometimes in the village, kids are naked, they run around. So the logic is that someone was naked, someone's mother was naked when she was a child. And now she's grown up. So she should be naked then too. So in a similar way, sometimes people say, well, this person, I know at one point they were a neophyte. So they're always a neophyte, even when they grow up and mature in devotional service. And therefore one makes this faulty logic offense by thinking, oh, I know them. They used to bring me limpkas. So how could that person be an advanced devotee? Well, they're just a lowly, insignificant person. But one should understand that this is discounting the power of the holy name and the Vaishnavas to elevate insignificant persons to the highest position. And we can see in the story of Dhruva Maharaj how he was apparently insignificant, how his mother made an offense, others, like even his father, you know, didn't regard him well. Later he became a Paramahamsa, and everyone regretted later that they didn't pay him proper respect. So it's a better policy to follow the higher vision of the Srimad Bhagavatam and treat all living entities with respect and to learn proper Vaishnava etiquette and never criticize Vaishnavas for any reason, and especially not in writing and especially not on the internet. Om Tat Sat. So now we'll take a few points. Swami Prabhupada. Yeah, that's a good idea. Don't carry grudges. Do you all know what a grudge is? It's a little animal. It's a fierce little animal. People carry them under their arms. They carry them around. Some people carry them around for like 20 years. A little grudge. You go, what's that? A little growly animal with snarly teeth. They say, oh, it's a little grudge. I caught this grudge. And some people carry several grudges around. They're vicious little animals. It's like wolverines, only a little smaller. And so the best thing to do is to drive out way into the country and then go out and let them loose and let them run away. Yes, you had a point. What's that? Okay.
I wanted to give a reflection first and a question. So my reflection is that I really appreciate this point of just not offending anybody. Rather than trying to determine who's exalted and who's not, who should I offend and who should I not offend, but I should just not offend anybody. I really like that. And my question in that regard is that, you know, you were also just speaking about how there's the three classes of devotee, and the highest class of devotee can be distinguished by the fact that doesn't have the propensity to criticize others. Now, since that is his special quality, then can we assume that the other classes of devotees have the propensity to criticize others? Pretty much everybody else, except for Arjuna's Mahadevari, has the propensity to criticize others. So, how do we avoid any kind of aparad, whether jiva aparad or Vaishnava aparad, while we still have that propensity to criticize others in our heart, not having attained the uttam stage?
By practicing what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends in the Shikshashtakam, which is to be feel oneself lower than the blade of grass, to be more tolerant than a tree, and to be ready to give all respects to others without expecting any respect in return. And we should always be preparing for this and guarding against propensity. If somebody has a propensity for intoxication, for instance, and that person's intelligent, then they avoid situations that will trigger that. And they also get good association with others who are recovering from it. And so similarly, when one's a recovering criticizer and has a propensity for criticizing others in one's heart, one should take similar measures to prevent that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, when a Brahmin in Nadia asked him, in Kulia, asked him, how do I make up for my offenses? Previously, I was a great offender to Vaishnavas and to you, and I said so many things about you and other Vaishnavas. And Mahaprabhu said, criticizing Vaishnavas is like drinking poison. And he said, praising them is like nectar, and it's an antidote. And so if you've criticized Vaishnavas, now use the same tongue and praise them instead, and it will nullify the effects. And so because the tongue has a tendency to say something, as your tongue is just about to say something negative about somebody, then you can turn it around. That person is really, he has great kids. Whatever you can come up with, find some redeeming quality. And we have one from the internet.
When devotees have close relation with another devotee, and in that affection, if one uses harsh words out of friendship, is that called an offense or Vaishnava aparad?
Well, generally, when you have a very close friendship, and then there's some harsh words, it's very quick, very easily and quickly it can be overcome. The Prabhupada taught us to not walk away angry or offended with devotees, that we should go back to them and ask, beg forgiveness on both sides, offer obeisances, and then move on. It's a little, when you have intimate relationships with other devotees, yes, you can commit offenses, but generally it's not taken so deeply. You should still be careful to rectify that. People who live in close quarters together and who are close in relationship can also sometimes slip and make harsh remarks, like spouses sometimes. Somebody can say something So one has to learn the art of rectifying that right away. When driving on the road, there's a possibility that one might become offended and then offend others, right? What's that called? Road rage. It happens a lot. But I have a technique that I learned many years ago that I use. Because one as Swami Prabhupada pointed out, one should not offend others, but one should also not take offense. Krishna mentions this in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. He says that you shouldn't offend others, and you also shouldn't become the enemy of your enemy. So if you're driving on the road or anywhere else, and someone offends you while driving, has that ever happened to anybody? Here's what you do. You go, I forgive you. Just say it as fast as you can right away and let it go and let them loose. And similarly, I saw two guys walking in the airport, in O'Hare Airport. They weren't watching where they were going. They clipped each other. This one suitcase, the briefcase clipped the guy's wheelie bag, and they both spun around at the same time and uttered profanities at each other. But I have a technique when you clip somebody. Of course, devotees, when you bump into somebody, you immediately go back and you know, if you offend them with your body, you go back and you say, please forgive me. It doesn't matter who it is. You should go back. You shouldn't bump into living entities and then just keep walking. And similarly, there's another mantra that I learned that when you bump into somebody or you make a bodily offense by walking around the world, you can just immediately say, sorry, my fault. And it immediately dissipates the situation. Because people are very quick to become angry in public. Like, so the other day I saw one devotee said he was in New York. He was walking in some place and just his cloth brushed against somebody and they wanted to fight him. And so you have to understand you're in a surcharged environment in the material world and you have to move through it without causing offense and trying to diffuse offenses also. And one learns this very thoroughly when going out on book distribution. Otherwise you can't stay on book distribution if you offend others. Eventually Krishna will relieve you of your duties if you offend others on Sankirtan. So you have to learn how to treat other people with respect. Don't be condescending. Forgive them if they make trespasses. And treat them very kindly. And even if they reject you, don't reject them. Just honor them and move on to the next person. Yes, last one. Yeah, it's a real art to moving through the world without making offense. Of course, when you preach Krishna consciousness, naturally people will take exception because you're taking a stand. But it's different from ad hominem offenses. In fact, just one last point, and that is when devotees first went to India, and there were many people that would, these are Western devotees, would come up to them and say, what do you think about Swami such and such, Ananda? And there are many different Swamis that people were following. They say, what do you think about this one or that one? And when the devotees asked Prabhupada, how should we answer these people? He said, ask them, what's his philosophy? Don't speak about the person himself. Speak about the philosophy and just compare it to Bhagavad Gita. Make an honest comparison. And that way you can avoid making personal offenses or offending people's sensibilities. It's 9:09. We have 1 minute left. Okay. Harisham.
Something I've been
really
wondering for the last couple of months, I would really like to know if I'm thinking about it or not, is or debating what spiritual master were to tell me something. And if I would just flat out say, I don't agree with this, I would be nervous even considering such a possibility. And so something I've really been thinking about is how Dhruva Maharaj is like a pure Kshatriya. Arjuna talks about in the first chapter, there's a problem for the Sankarana, is this mixed caste psychological issue. And so I'm wondering if there's a relationship between being a generous person in terms of being kind and not offensive, being just clear about who you are and what you want in life, and your psychological build-up, and also being somebody who like defends devotees, is not very generous, is not able to forgive, and having the birth of Kali Yuga being like this final son of the psychology, which is very prevalent nowadays. I was wondering if you could just comment on this, because I've been thinking about this one more recently.
If I understood you correctly, you're just mentioning that people are born with a particular nature, and some people's nature may be more forgiving than others. Is that what you meant?
I guess what I mean is that in Dhruva Maharaj's case, he was born in a pure Kshatriya line that gave him a kind of self-confidence that allowed him to be himself and not be offensive. But nowadays, we have this violent Sankara population because no one might personally get very poor anyway. Natures or anything like that. And that's how it is for most people. So when people take birth, we have a very mixed psychology. We're not really self-confident, we're not really sure who we are. This makes us quite ungenerous at times. Or people may not have received a lot of love growing up, or even in Krishna consciousness, so that makes it more susceptible for them to be offended, offensive towards others. And I'm just wondering if that there's a connection there between our psychological build-up, how we were raised or treated, and then our propensity to offend.
Seems very likely. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially comes in Kali Yuga and gives a dispensation because of that. Those people are generally unqualified. Prayanal Paishasha Bhya Kalabas Minyugajara Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Pakya Hupadrita. The Iron Age of Kali. People are very unqualified, and Mahaprabhu and his followers understand this and go out of their way to help people. In fact, Jiva Goswami says that the greatest qualification of people in the Kali Yuga is their disqualification. Because they're so disqualified, Krishna extends himself even further than he usually does. Which isn't the answer to your question exactly. The first part of what I said was, which is very likely so. It's a very confusing position most people are in. They don't know who they are or what they're supposed to do. It takes them oftentimes years and years for people to figure out even what their livelihood is. It's very different from Vedic times when they were more pure bloods and people had a system to fit into very readily and easily. So, once again, we came together and we spoke about the Srimad Bhagavatam together. We joined devotees from all over the world online, and the damage is now done. It can't be taken back. And we thank Srila Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for giving us this opportunity. Gaura Premanande, Hari Bol. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Hari Bol. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol.
Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman. Hey! Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman. Nachari Armarman.